Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 24, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. Well, another embarrassing Warriors effort and a colourful Ricky Stewart post-match interview. However, there were also some good games of footy to get us through the weekend, but how are you going?
Yeah, good, Brad. Your weak gutted dog. Disappointing Warriors performance, wasn't it? We'll cover it off some more in the reviews, but that was the low point for me. Otherwise, there was quite a few enjoyable games on the weekend.
Richie, but you need to apologise now. And what he said to your kid a decade ago, and he hasn't clearly he's let it go and moved on in his life. But so yes, no, can't have that kind of behaviour on here. You know, you'll get banned.
Yeah, while we're live here on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m, you can also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember, search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was Rugby League, including our top stories of the week, a review of round 21, and our picks. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as some questions we got for each other. We'll then make a preview of round 22, make our tips, and then end the night with a recap of the Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we may as well just jump straight in, Richie.
Sounds good to me.
I know everyone's talking about Ricky, but I've got one little one first. The Warriors Members Forum is tomorrow night. It's the little get-together the club has for the members where they apologise for the season and promise that good things are coming. We haven't got to have one of these in a while. I think I was looking back on it, Richie, the last time we actually had one that we got to go to in person, you and I went, and that was the night or the day that Sean Johnson was announced to have left the club.
Yeah.
Which made it a bit more of an interesting forum, at least we thought it would be, because immediately they said, we're not going to talk about that. Move on. I'll go. So we'll have some interest, hopefully some little tidbits we can talk about next week. But I'll take the little notepad and make some notes and see what happens. We'll get on to the big topic now. Ricky Stewart had a go at Jermaine Salmon. I think that's how you pronounce his name, in his press conference, calling him a weak-gutted dog. The NRL's fined him 25K and banned him for a week. Everyone probably knows my thoughts on it, but we may as well go with you. What are your thoughts?
You don't think it's that bad, do you?
No, not at all.
Ricky's known to be a bit of a hothead in press conferences after a loss. Being realistic, he's probably taken a couple of steps over the line. He's meant to be a coach and a leader of the Raiders outfit. It's one thing sort of dissecting a loss in a sort of bitter way, but to have a go at an individual for something that happened apparently when he was 11 or 12 years old, so he's essentially just had a go at a kid. It's a a bit over the line, in my opinion, even though you probably don't think it's that bad.
It was a masterstroke. It was a masterstroke.
Diverted away from the loss.
Are we talking about one of the worst Raiders performances of the year? No, we're not. All we're talking about is Ricky having a go at a kid that... He went over the line. He's been punished. And, yeah, like Jacko said, he's a tipstick who holds grudges against 12-year-old kids 10 years ago. Taking all the facetiousness out of it, you know, he went across the line, but he got what he wanted, you know, done, which was avoiding talking about his team not performing.
You think that's what it was?
100%. He did. You look at most of the biggest blowups Ricky's had, the Raiders have performed really badly, and it's diverting all the attention away. I think I saw somewhere, I don't have it here, but he's been fined like over $100,000 in his time as coach. So it's, you know, at least he gets paid well. I guess, you know, I wouldn't want to, I couldn't be a coach on what I earn and saying what he gets away with. But he shouldn't have said it. He apologized, but he didn't really apologize. He kind of said, I'm sorry for saying it where I said it, not for saying it, which kind of sounds like an apology I would make. But do you think clearly fines don't work with Ricky? You know, as I said, he's already got over 100,000 worth of fines, and he still makes these interesting comments. Do you think a week ban's enough?
When I look at what he normally says, I normally don't have too much of a problem with what he normally says. You know, he comes across a bit sour grapes normally after a loss, but I think he's just expressing himself the way he feels at the time. And if you can't do that, what's the point of a press conference? I think this time in particular, though, he's attacked an individual and for some history when they were a child. So probably the circumstances are a little bit different. I don't know if a week's enough. I'm not too sure. How far do you take it? I mean, what does that mean? He's not allowed to go to the game, or
What I understand, he's not allowed to go to the game, and he's not allowed contact with the team.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought it was more of a question for you as a father. If you know a coach came out and said stuff like that about your kid from like when they were pretty much the age your kids are now. You know, in 10 years' time, if they had a go at your son, it'd probably be warranted, but...
Yeah, it's probably not anything I wouldn't say myself. No, in all seriousness, it wouldn't be nice. And, Salmon's family probably have every right to feel aggrieved because he's essentially, Ricky's defamed him in a very public forum, you know, so... It's a tricky one. He can apologize, but it doesn't really take away what he's already said in one of the most public forums he has available to him.
Yeah, I'm not Australian. I see Mark's in the comments said, does Ricky pay the fines or do the Raiders pay it? I honestly don't know. But is weak gutter dog like a really bad thing to say? I don't even know what that means.
I think a dog in Australian is. It's not nice, put it that way.
Yeah.
But then they say then they call each other C words, and that's just like a term of endearment. So
that's saying hello. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting language. And Jacko said Montoya got 4 weeks for a slur at Fout. Ricky got off lightly. Yeah, I think they're different levels in today's day and age, what they said. Like the fact, I think the biggest thing you can say about the difference of those is that when Montoya's one went around, you haven't heard that part of the game replayed on radio and in news where everybody has got little clips of what Ricky said. And yet TK said it was a dog act. That's the guy kicked the guy in the balls and then got him in the face. I'd be a bit aggrieved as well. I could see some people saying, would be potentially upset if he didn't stick up for his player. I don't know.
You think there was intent there? Because league players pick out tackles all the time.
Kawhi, are you saying you've never been in that situation and saw a slot at the goals open and you just took a little go?
I know your answer to that.
I think there was a bit. I think the kick out that went to the groin was probably more direct than the tap to the head after.
Yeah.
I think that one was completely. Jack, I said different levels. You met Ricky as a head coach. Montoya's an average player. I mean, a different level in terms of the word used. But yeah, we're going on really long on that one. But yeah, we'll call it a spade a spade. Richie, you as a father don't like it. I have no issue with it. But yeah, it is what it is. Going back to the Warriors for a second, though, we talked about it last week about the rumor mill around Elise Katoa. He has now been granted an early release from the Warriors. He's going to leave at the end of the season and join the Storm on a 2-year deal. They had a stat in the press release from the Warriors that he's played 42 games for the Warriors so far. There's still a few games left, and all but one of those have been played in Australia. There's been a few rumors which have been squashed a little bit today about Isaiah Papali'i. I know your question is about that, so we won't cover that too much here. But what's your take on Katoa, you know, getting granted an early release and ending up at a place like the Storm? Clearly, that kind of shows the potential he has, in my opinion, that the Storm, you know, wasted no time offering him a deal.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen him stay on and us sort of persist with him and maybe utilize him a bit better. I feel like he probably hasn't been utilized in the correct way the past season or so. I've got the feeling he's going to go to the Storm, where they tend to get the best out of people, and he's going to love life out on an edge, probably score quite a few tries and do a lot of damage. And yeah, then we won't know how to feel about it.
Yeah. And Paul's asking in the background, was he tapped by the Storm and so asked for a release? That could be the case, but I'd be questioning Warriors management there, that if potentially a team like the Storm have like cherry picked one of your players in your roster that they want, that's probably more reason to go, this kid's probably got more than what we're getting out of him. We should persevere. So either way you slice, any way you slice it, I think it was a bad call. And yeah, Mark said, like, the Warriors tried to bulk him up and turn him into a middle forward under the Nathan Brown regime. And I think that was his downfall in his terms of his up and down performance this year. They were trying to make him the player he wasn't. And yeah, it's just like the Papali'i situation. The Warriors were trying to turn Papali'i into a player that he wasn't. He went off to another team that used him the way he should, and he flourished. And I think we're going to see that here. And very disappointed as a Warriors fan, but as a very big Katoa fan, I'm really excited for what's going to happen with him. I think he's just going to go to another level at Melbourne. And as much as I'd love him to do that here, it's not on the cards anymore. And I think the biggest thing we've got to remember is he's got ups and downs, but he's still very young and experienced. You know, he basically came straight from rugby union, and rather than learning the game, he got thrown in and made his debut straight in first grade, and he's been learning as he goes, which isn't a desirable way for a professional athlete to learn their trade. But I think he's done very well so far with the trials that the Warriors have put him under. But it'll be interesting to see how he goes next year at Melbourne. I think he'll do well there. The Australians that I've listened to that aren't involved with the Warriors are very excited about it. They think Melbourne have got themselves a winner. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes next year, that's for sure. I've got a bigger one here. NRL officials are poised to meet with the New South Wales government in a bid. I'm going to read it all here because there's a lot. A bid to try and keep the grand final in Sydney. The NRL had signed a deal to keep the finals in Sydney until 2042. with a $800 million upgrade of a core stadium. That rebuild was delayed, and a portion of the money was to be redirected to suburban grounds. And since then, NRL have been told that this is no longer a priority, which has led to a battle between both sides, with the NRL threatening to take the match to Queensland if the government does not action their part of the agreement. What's your take on that, Richie? I know there was a lot of talk a few weeks ago about not wanting to get politics involved in the NRL, but we've got the politicians battling with the NRL right now. Personally, I have no connection to the grand final being in Sydney or Queensland, so it doesn't worry me. I just want the Warriors to bloody be in it. But
mate, you just took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, I don't really care. Yeah. It doesn't affect me. I don't live there. I watch it on TV from the comfort of my living room with a beer in hand, either way. Queensland got a grand final. They did a really great job with it. So unless it was in New Zealand or the Warriors were there, it could be on Mars, mate. I'm still going to watch it.
I was going to say, yeah, should it be rotated around, say, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane and Auckland?
Yeah, I would love an NFL style approach where like every year it's played in a different location and they've been given a year to prepare for it and stuff. But they want the most bums on seats, so they stick with those big stadiums in Sydney. Suncorp's, you know, not a little stadium by any means. So I think you'll just see it there. In terms of time zones, they would never bring it to New Zealand, even if they got offered all the money in the world. I think Simon had put in there, there's a change of premiers in New South Wales who has different priorities, which has caused this hiccup. So that's up to, you know, if they don't want to play ball, then yeah, it's not like the NRL is going to get a tiny crowd show up in Brisbane. So I would take it to Suncorp. But yeah, that's all I had on that, unless you had anything. Mark's also mentioned Leichhardt Oval was part of the proposed upgrades and it had a major collapse last week. Video of that. One of the fronts of the stand came down and all the fans fell out. But yeah, I guess, you know, people aren't used to many fans showing up.
Oh, look at that comment there. Brad's a fan of that comment.
Best comment of the night. Eden Park sucks. It's a horrible stadium. Be better if they just bulldozed it, Paul. It's not like the All Blacks can perform in it anymore. Getting away from league talk for a second.
That's the one place the All Blacks have won this year, Brad.
The Garden, as I like to call it. Oh, look, it's not a very good stadium. The only decent stadium in New Zealand at the moment is Forsyth Park. Let's be blunt. All the others are old and crap, didn't need replacing, or they try to be cricket grounds and rugby grounds, and it don't work. So Forsyth Bar's the only decent stadium in New Zealand, in my opinion. As far as sizable stadiums go, there's some cool small stadiums, provincial stadiums, but
so I think it's always going to be between the big one in Sydney or Suncorp. So we'll keep an eye on the ground. We might get some news about the upcoming grand final moving to Queensland again. So we'll see. And Jacko said AB's losing has taken heat off Warriors in New Zealand. They're kind of taking a bit of the sting off what's been a very disappointing season again. And Simon said the guy running for mayor in Auckland said they should build a waterfront stadium. I think that's what they should have done back when they first talked about it. I think it would have been good, but people still had that Eden Park's the home, the only difference is that means I'd have to travel into the waterfront to potentially watch my Warriors games, and I hate going into the city. So we'll keep an eye on what happens with the grand final location situation and keep you guys up to date. Next bit of news, we had former Shark Bronson Cherry, how do you say his name, Richie?
Bronson Cherry.
I probably got it wrong. He's 3 months away from being able to sign with an NRL club to return in 2024 after his his ban expires. Rumors are that several clubs are interested in him. Do you think it's been too long for him, or do you think he'll slot right back in? He's still very young.
I was just going to say that feels like it's gone by quickly. Yeah. He is very young, and from what we saw of him before his ban, he's a very good athlete. I don't know how much of that was due to the reason he was banned, but I think he'd still be able to make a good run of things if he were to come back.
He'll come out as slow as me. You watch.
Yeah. Not enhanced, so yeah. He'll be a shell of his former self.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm sure he'll be a handy pickup. Mark said the Roosters will probably have a few mil to sign him. Yeah, they have plenty of room. And Jeff said he looks like he's been on the steroids, real muscled up. Yeah, he's always going to have that on his I know I'm looking distracted. I'm writing Simon's picks. He's always going to get that side eye now. Like if he looks in good shape, everyone's going to be saying he's on the juice. You know he's going to have the random drug test, probably almost every week. But that's kind of the ongoing punishment you get if you want to cheat the system. So I don't have any sympathy for him. But if he gets signed to a deal, I'm sure he'll crush it. He definitely, as you said, how much of it was natural, how much of it wasn't. He looked like a hell of a talent back when he was with the Sharks beforehand. But
hey, we need some centers here.
Knowing how we are, unless he's in his late 30s, we're probably not going to try to sign him. But continuing with the signing talks, it hasn't been 100% confirmed yet, but Wigan star Bevan French is close to signing with the Knights on a 3-year deal. Talks within the club is they still want Ponga to be their fullback. So where would you put Bevan French, who is a notable fullback, if they're not going to move Ponga into the halves?
Well, you wouldn't move Ponga, would you? I think fullback's Ponga's best position. We've seen Bevan French play on the wing as well. So
yeah,
that's one possibility, although...
I like their wingers at the moment, though.
Yeah, kind of got good size and speed about them at the moment, don't they, on the wings? But I'm not too sure, mate, unless he was to play a sort of bench utility role. I know he covers a fair few positions.
But why would you go to the Knights, leaving the amazing team that's Wigan? I don't understand. But he could just go from one Warriors to the another, in my opinion, just come down here. I'd love to have him at fullback for the Warriors in New Zealand. But
how many fullbacks do you want?
How many? Look, New South Wales have, 6 or 7 fullbacks. Why can't we? Going to the Knights to get silverware. What silverware do the Knights have, Paul?
Is that the wooden silverware or?
Yeah.
Of the wooden spoon variety.
But yeah, I'm sure he'll do great. I think he was really up and down in the NRL before, but he's kind of found his groove in the Super League. I know I don't like saying it's the lesser competition, but let's be realistic, it kind of is.
Yeah.
So it's always hard to gauge, but he seems to have matured into a decent footballer, and I'm sure he'll add a lot of upside to whatever team he ends up with. But yeah, going to the Knights wouldn't be my first place to sign with, but they potentially might be the only ones in the NRL that are actually interested right now. So we'll go with them. Next bit of news I have is an interesting one. I wasn't going to cover it, but the NRLW is coming back soon, so I thought we may as well get in there. A Titans NRLW player, Tasman Gray, believes that the new NRLW judiciary process is unfair, with players able to be suspended for 3 games now. She was quoted saying, "It's disrespectful to adopt a model that treats the NRLW the same to the NRL when it comes to sanctions." I tend to agree, depending on what the player's being, what they've done. But a 3-game ban is effectively like a 9-week ban in the NRL due to the season length. What's your take on it? It all, like, what we see a 3-week ban for in the NRL, we don't really see that a lot in the NRLW, but it's a hard line. I'd expect them to have the same punishment if they were the same length, but I think it should be adjusted in comparison.
Yeah, percentage wise, I mean, you're right. You look at the NRLW season. How many games is it, Brad? Do you know? Is it? It's between 6 to 10, isn't it? It's far less.
I think so.
So you cop a grade 3, and say in men's NRL, that's what, 4 to 6 weeks. That's pretty much your whole season gone in NRLW. So,
well, in theory, you would flow on to the following season, wouldn't it?
So, yeah, from that point of view, it's not the same thing.
March
has had 5-game season. So it's even less. So if you copped a bad high tackle and copped a grade 3, that's your season gone. And the other point is a lot of the women in the NRLW work jobs as well, you know, and take time off their jobs to accommodate the NRLW season. So imagine shifting your life around like that, copying a big ban and your season's gone.
Yeah. So I hope they have some fine tuning on it. But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting tidbit. But we'll keep with the Titans for my last bit of the news before we go into casualty ward. They have signed Rooster Sam Ferrells on a 2-year deal, joining Kieran Foran and Jaden Campbell in the spine next year. I say their spine's starting to look a lot better. You throw in, you know, Tino and, you know, one or two really good games from David Fifita, the Titans might actually do okay next year, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it depends. We've seen what it's like with the Bulldogs when you change a lot of a roster around. They started this season really poorly. It's taken them a fair while to warm up, and a coach sacking for them to warm up. The potential will be there. It just depends how long that team before that team chemistry kicks in. I still see a few holes in their roster to turn them into a really sort of top tier team. So
we don't want them to be top tier, though, Richie.
No, we don't. I mean, anything's going to be an improvement from where they're sitting this year, isn't it?
Well, that's true. That's a very facetious way of looking at it for the last place team. But we'll go into the casualty ward now. I've only picked three that I really thought interest me, I guess you could say. First up is Tiger Ken Mamalo. He's got a suspected PCL injury. Scans are going to be done to see the severity and length of time off the pitch that may be required, but his season potentially could be over. So very disappointing there. Continuing with season enders, warrior Ronald Volkman is having shoulder surgery and is going to miss the rest of the season. I think I saw the NRL physio said it's generally a 3 to 5 month recovery time, which means he will be set to come back for round one of next season for the Warriors. And the last one is Jerome Hughes. He's having scans on his shoulder as they believe he suffered a shoulder subluxation, which is a partial or incomplete dislocation. Positive signs will lead to him only having 1 to 2 weeks away. A negative scan could see him miss the rest of the season and the World Cup. Nothing official yet, but it sounds like it's the positive side of things, which is great for the Storm, but even better for us Kiwis for the World Cup. But what's your take on those three injuries that I handpicked out of a lot of them that there were this week?
Yeah, I heard Hughes wasn't on the serious side of things, which is, yeah, great for us. Positive for the Storm as well, because they could really do with a break in the injuries. They've been hit hard with the injury stick this year. Surprised you didn't put Booth from the hooker from the Titans. Did you see didn't care, eh? No,
I didn't care.
Did you see the photo, though? His legs sort of all twisted around. I think it's come out. He's done his ACL, MCL, and PCL, and it's going to be about 9 to 12 months.
Yeah, Mark said, yeah, it's an ACL, MCL, and P. So out for 12 months.
All the letters of the alphabet. That was a shocker, I thought.
Yeah, very unfortunate for them.
Was this the guy who's gone on Twitter saying
Fox NRL, please stop showing my leg getting broken all the time. It's not happy for me and my family. Someone's gone on and said that recently, saying, look, yeah, stop showing the injury. It's not fun.
I don't know. I didn't catch that.
I'm not sure. It'd be either him or Jackson Hastings, because I know they were showing Hastings' leg break a lot. But yeah, that's all I had for the injury corner. There were a few more. Joe Tapani is missing this week due to a rib injury and stuff, but I went for the ones that were kind of a bit bigger than a week. So we'll go to Naughty Boy corner because there's lots. The Melbourne Storm somehow found a way to get fined again. But that's only because they've got a Kiwi back out there in Brandon Smith. What? Nelson's a Kiwi too, so that has no statement. But the biggest one was Tarek Sims. He had a grade 3 careless high tackle. He's pled guilty and is suspended for 4 matches, which has ended his time as a Dragon.
Yep.
He is another one I forgot was going to Melbourne. So they're going to have Katoa and Sims. So
not bad
replacements for the players that are leaving. James Fisher-Harris has got 2 matches for a grade 3 careless high tackle as well. A big loss for the Panthers when you think that they've lost their spine too. Losing the best prop in the game isn't that great. The rest are all fines. We've got Joseph Tapani. Not only is he missing this week, but he has got a $3,000 fine for a crusher tackle. Taniela Otokolo from the Warriors, he was out there for 5 minutes, but he got a $1,500 fine for a crusher tackle. Brandon Smith got an $1,800 fine for a grade 1 dangerous contact. And then Jermaine Salmon got $1,000 for grade 1 contrary conduct for kicking.
For being a weak gutted dog.
For being a weak gutted dog, yes. for kicking a poor raider in the testicles. So that's all we had for Naughty Boy Corner. A lot of fines. Your take, Paul.
Not on that, but I found the tweet I was talking about. So Jackson Hastings apparently is the one that's reached out and said, yeah, please stop showing it.
They were showing it every 5 seconds. But yeah, unfortunate for him. But we may as well get into the round, Richie, round 21, which means that you get to take over.
Oh, cool.
So I'll leave it with you.
Just as he opens a beer.
Yeah. You caught that? I thought I was being subtle. Sorry. All right. So Thursday night, we had the Roosters getting up over the Broncos, 34-16. 6 tries to 3 for the Roosters, Paul Momorowski, Nat Butcher with a double, Angus Crichton, Luke Carey, and Joseph Suali. For the Broncos, Corey Oates with a double, and Kurt Capewell. The Broncos hitting the skids a little bit, Brad, and my Roosters getting the cash here. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance from the Roosters. Not perfect, but I'd take a performance like that over what our team delivers at the moment. But big ups need to go to Victor Radley. Guy was in the wars. He kept fighting. He only got through 49 minutes, but busting himself open on a hit up with blood going everywhere kind of brought a tear to my eye. It's like the good old days. But yeah, thought he was tremendous out there. The Roosters looked strong in the first half, and that's where most of the damage was done. They did drop a level in the second half, but still kept some tries coming through. Roosters forwards, they were a menace all night, and that allowed James Tedesco to just cause plenty of headaches for the Broncos. Halves looked better this week. I was a bit, you know, umming and ahhing about them last week, saying that they just seemed to have more direction when Manu was in the halves, but they looked better here. The Roosters will need to ensure that they keep pressure on for an entire 80 if they want to go deep in the playoffs. For the Broncos, they'll be disappointed, obviously. A nice double from Corey Oates there, but I thought celebrating his second try like he had won the game when his side was down. They were still miles behind on the scoreboard, probably wasn't the best look. I think I could compare it to the Warriors game where Sean Johnson scored a try, scored it, got up and got ready to kick. It's like, there's no need to celebrate. We're behind here. But Kurt Capewell and Payne Haas, I thought, were the best on the park for Brisbane. Which is kind of always the case when it comes to those two. They just couldn't defend. I think I've got it here. They had 47 missed tackles, which is bottom of the ladder material. So they're going to need to work on that before playoffs if they actually want to be competitive.
Yeah, agreed completely. Because I think if the Roosters had been on their A game, they could have done more damage. I think the Roosters played really well in patches, but even they made 14 errors and had a far worse completion rate than the Broncos did. So,
yeah, if they were firing on all cylinders, they could have put 40-50 on them.
Yeah, it could have been worse. So I'm not too sure who that bodes well for. I mean, the Roosters getting a big win, I guess, and not being completely top-tier form. They've still got a bit of room to improve, which has got to be good for them heading towards finals.
Yeah.
The next game was Friday night's game, the Storm over the Titans, 32-14. 6-3 for the Storm. Xavier Coates, Cam Munster with a hat-trick, Kenny Bromwich and young Tuna Mapia, and the Titans, Bo Furmore, Herman Essie, and Brian Kelly. Storm showing a bit more this week, Brad, and Cam Munster, obviously fantastic with a hat-trick, but, I mean, a couple of those tries were pretty easy. It kind of tells me a bit about the Titans' defense and where they're at as well. So it's hard to read how good the Storm actually were or whether some of that was how poor the Titans are traveling.
Yeah, I think the Storm look like they're going back to normal after that little lull. But Cam Munster, he had a great night returning to his old role of fullback. He scored those three tries and was consistently inserting himself into the attack, which was just causing the Titans all sorts of problems. I don't really have much to say about the Storm, really. A solid performance all round with all the stars doing what they do. I thought Nofaluma had a solid debut. Getting to experience a win, he doesn't get a lot of those, so that'll be great for him there. The injury to Hughes could throw a spanner in the works the next couple of weeks, but especially we saw how poor they were last time he didn't play. So that will be hard for them because they've got a bit of a tough match this week. But, I'm sure they'll keep moving forward. You know, even when they were in that losing patch, I said you can never write them off. It's just who they are. You know that, you know, whenever you're playing the Storm, it's going to be tough. Not much to say really about the Titans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Either they're just another team that can't tackle. They miss 50. Big Tino was the star for them once again. David Fifita showed some improvement after last week, but he's still well off the pace that's expected from him, and it's been a long season for the Gold Coast, and I don't see the last month getting any easier. Could set up a hell of a bludger of a game in the last round against the Warriors.
it could. Do you think having seen David Nofaluma enjoying his night out for the Storm, can you see him going back to the Tigers or trying to get out and permanently move, make a permanent move with the Storm? I just think at the Tigers, they've kind of preferred Naden and Kim Malmolo on the wings, so it's opened the door for Nofaluma to go there on this loan. Do you think he'll get the taste of it and want to stay?
Potentially. Why would you want to go back? And to being brutally honest, it's not like the Tigers are, you know, on the verge of becoming the next big team. in the next couple of years. They might surprise us and start doing better under Sheens and Benji. But it's kind of been painted that they're not really looking at using them as much anymore. So if the Storm are interested in keeping them, I'm sure there'll be some deal. It'll all depend on him. If Craig Bellamy doesn't like the cut of his jib, he's not going to be a Storm player for long. It'll go, or maybe this will be what he needs to mature and become the player that the Tigers want him to be. It's you just don't know. But yeah, I can just envision at the end of the year, Nofaluma hugging onto Bellamy's leg, crying, saying, "I don't want to go. Let me stay." But we'll see what happens there. It's going to be interesting. That's, I suppose, always the curly question when it comes to loaning a player that still has years on at the end. But yeah, we'll see.
All right. The next Friday night game, Parramatta getting up over Manly, 36-20. It was 7-3 with Mike Acevo grabbing a double, Tom Opacic, Wonga Blake, Clint Gutherson, Will Penasini, and Dylan Brown all scoring tries. 3 tries for Manly, Kola, Saab, and Christian Tuipulotu. It was 14-all at halftime, Brad. I thought it was pretty competitive, and Manly showed flashes of what they can do. But yeah, the Eels, I thought, were pretty professional in closing this one out. Without Mitch Moses, and I thought coach's son, Jake Arthur, did a solid job in his absence. So maybe the Para fans can stop booing him for a week or two. I thought the Eels were pretty good.
I told you last week, and you laughed at me, I said that the Eels would not miss Mitchell Moses because he doesn't do anything. He's a flat track bully, and we saw that here. The Eels continue to ruin my picks. I'm sick of them. I think I don't know if I've got a single Eels game right this year. I probably got one or two. But every time I think they're going to lose, they win. Every time I think they're going to win, they're going to lose. So it was a good performance from them. Big praise needs to go to Jake Arthur, Dylan Brown, and Clint Gutherson. As I've got in my notes here, they didn't miss Mitchell Moses at all. But I already covered that. The forwards kept Manly on the back foot all night, and it was the kind of performance the Eels need to keep delivering. And I feel like I say that every second week on the show. It's like, this is what they need to do to keep winning. It's just they don't do it the next week. At least they got two in a row this week. They got two wins on the trot. Manly just didn't show up in the second half, which is really disappointing to see them drop off with a top eight spot on the line. They really needed this win if they wanted to stay in the hunt. Jason Saab was a highlight for them, but they just made too many errors in the end of it. They do have the Titans this week, but the following three matches are all going to be tough. So this loss here may have blown their chance at the finals. They might still squeak in, but they really needed this one. You should tick down they're going to beat the Titans. But the next three after that, they could lose all of them. But they essentially probably, much like the Raiders, who we'll talk about later on, they essentially have to win all four games if they want a shot, which I don't know how Manly fans will feel about it. That's kind of how the Warriors are most years, where we've got to win every game to make it. So I feel their pain. But disappointing night.
And how much, or was there any sort of talk, I guess, around disunity within the camp? Did the players who missed the previous week come back and perform, or was there a divide in the camp that was talked about a little bit last week?
I don't think there was a visible divide, I don't think it would have helped their momentum over the past couple of weeks for sure, because Brad mentions this is probably a missed opportunity. You could say that last week as well with the seven players opting out of the game. The past couple of weeks has been a pretty big missed opportunity for Manly to solidify their spot in the eight.
Yeah, definitely. We may as well go on to the game we don't want to talk about, Richie.
Yeah, okay. Saturday, first game of Super Saturday, the Rabbitohs over the Warriors, 48-10. It is very painful to talk about. 8-2. Lachlan Ilias, Damien Cook, Tavita Totola, Keon Kalomatangi, Latrell Mitchell with a double, Alex Johnston and Isaac Thompson were all the tries for the Rabbitohs. 2 tries for the Warriors. Ed Cossey keeping up his try-scoring form, and Sean Johnson. Not a lot of highlights for the Warriors, Brad. Writing was on the wall very early. Very porous defense from the Warriors. Holes everywhere. Poor tackle attempts. Can't do that against this Rabbitohs side with Latrell back. Once you let them get ahead of steam up there, they're tough to stop.
Yeah, I came into this match very optimistic before Team Name Tuesday, going the Warriors would lose this game by like maybe 12. You know, they'll give them a run. And then I saw the team naming and went, okay, it might be maybe 20. But yeah, I question the team selection as Stacey's gamble blew up in everyone's face. The team had no cohesion with all these changes and they were turnstiles on defense. If I wasn't writing the match report, I would have changed the channel. It was that horrible to watch, and I've watched some horrible games. It just looked like most of the squad had thrown in the towel in the first 10 minutes, to be blunt. If I want to praise people, I thought Reece Walsh, Jack Murchie and Ed Cossey had some good moments, but the Warriors' poor defense meant that they spent most of the game either under the post or stuck deep in their own half, which, you know, you're not going to win football that way. That wooden spoon is looking like a possibility again. I thought we got away from that talk, but it's creeping back. I think Jacko commented earlier saying the wooden spoon grand final on the 3rd of September. That very much is looking like it could be a possibility. Which is never a great prospect. But for the Rabbitohs, they actually were here. They didn't really get the level of competition that they deserved in this match, but they made the most of it. They looked great. Cameron Murray was, probably one of his best games in a long time, which is impressive enough for him because he set such a tall bar. But, you know, he set up the first 3 tries in this match. Latrell Mitchell continues his fine form. And thankfully for us Warriors fans, the Rabbitohs took him off early and gave him a rest. Otherwise, I think the scores would have kept going up. Just a near complete performance from the Rabbitohs, and I'm starting to believe the hype in them again. Jacko says, sorry, but Stacey and Morgan have to be cut from the coaching first grade team. There was a news segment on New Zealand Herald that's behind a paywall because they love to hurt me. But it sounds like Stacey and Morgan are going to be kept in the coaching rotation with Andrew Webster. So not the news everyone wants to hear. And I'm sure there'll be a few questions about it tomorrow night at the forum. But just a great performance from the Rabbitohs. And I want to apologize to Rabbitohs fans that my Warriors team decided not to show up and make it a competitive outing.
Just pull out your wallet, Brad. Get behind that NZ Herald paywall.
I don't have the money, you know. if anyone wants to donate money to me, I always take it, you know.
Yeah.
I got to keep buying these expensive pops behind me so that money has to go there instead of getting news.
And you can support the channel through patreon.com/NZ Sport Radio.
There you go.
Yes.
Great segue.
Yeah, that's how you can support us. And, hey, couple of you sign up and I'll we'll send Brad the cash to get past
there paper. You go,
some real articles and news.
Give Paul money and then he can give me money so I can read the news. I was hoping someone would release it for us. And Jacko said I've ruined his night. It shows you a snippet, so I'm going off script here. So I've gone onto the New Zealand Herald page. It's a beautiful picture of Cameron George. It says, you get the first sentence. So Warriors interim coach Stacey Jones will remain on staff next season, along with current assistant Justin Morgan. Despite the struggles this season, incoming head coach Andrew Webster won't be making wholesale changes to the coaching staff. that's all I've got. It might delve into it a bit more and take some of the pressure off and say that they're just going to be involved in the coaching team and other avenues and not on the main roster. If Mark's still here, he's probably spoken to Cameron today and told her, got all the news. But yeah, I'm sure that news will come out later and we'll probably get a bit more insight into it at the forum. So Jacko, I know I've ruined your week, but I'll probably make it worse next week when we talk about it more. But yeah, that's all I could see so far. So I might buy a premium thing for the Herald, maybe. I don't know.
I was only joking, mate. Yeah,
it's move not, on it's from... not that expensive.
No, it's not. I don't pay for it, so I can't talk. Before we move on from that game, yeah, for me, the writing, like you said, the writing was very much on the wall for me on Team Naming Tuesday. It was just too random for me, and I don't know why you bench Curran and why Surinan's starting and Aaron Penne's number 13. Obviously, Wade Egan at 6. The balance just was all wrong, and it's completely random and completely different to what we've been throwing up recently. It's how could you expect us to go out there and perform? But yeah, like you said, I love what Cam Murray done. He's one of my favorite players. Shame he did it against us, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's move on, shall we? Saturday, Raiders versus Panthers, minus their halves pairing of Luai and Cleary. The Panthers still good enough to get it done, 26-6. Four tries to one. Epi Corrissell, Stephen Crichton, Dylan Edwards, and the weak gutter dog, Jamin Salmon. With the tries, the Raiders with the sole try to Josh Papali'i. At home in Canberra, season on the line. Sorry, Simon, I know you're watching, but it's a bit of a missed opportunity, but I think it just shows even without the halves, the Panthers still a fantastic side. They've still got every other piece of the puzzle. Epi Corrissell at 9. Dylan Edwards, I thought, was out of this world.
Yeah.
I thought he stepped up big time. So there's still two pieces of your spine there that are really top tier. And then you put in Sean O'Sullivan. I think he's proven now without Cleary there, he can do a job and get the ball out into the right places to their other very dangerous players. And yeah, even without those two guys, I still think they're very much on course for a minor premiership.
Yeah, you've basically covered all the points there. So I'm going through my notes to see anything else that I can actually add. Yeah, I've just got here. They're a great
Panthers. Have we lost Brad? He's gone all quiet.
Yes, I was wondering what happened there.
Oh, no. We'll move on to the next game then.
Might have to. We didn't need Brad's thoughts on that anyway.
No.
Sure he'll catch up soon. So the next Saturday game was the Sharks over the Dragons, 24-18, four tries to three. For the Sharks, Nico Hines, Braden Trindle, Teg Wilton, and Wade Graham with the tries. For the Dragons, Jack DeBellin, Monga, and Matthew Fengai. Sorry, Brad, while you cut out there, we moved on to the next game. Are you there, buddy? I think Brad's got too many windows running in his computer.
Simon said Brad stopped paying for the internet.
Yeah, no Herald, no internet. So, I guess for that game, the Sharks just keep marching on and towards potentially a top four spot for them. So I think this one all but rules the Dragons out of finals contention. It was 18-6 at halftime to the Sharks, who, again, like they've just been doing it for most of the season now. Very professional against the pretty game Dragon side. But I think, as Brad likes to say, they're just not at that level. Here he is. Tell us all about your favourite side, the Dragons, Brad.
They're just not a good enough side to go up against top four sides, as simple as
that. See, I told you he'd say that.
Yeah. But yeah, Sharks had a great game. Nicho Hynes was really good again. And yeah, I think I mentioned earlier, but I thought Tarek Sims had a decent game bar as Simbining, and it'll be disappointed that that's his last game.
Yeah, and I've really felt for Connor Tracy there, because I think Connor Tracy's been really good in the past few weeks. His form's been really great, and he's been playing the house down, and to get knocked out by Tarek Sims there. I almost felt sorry for Tarek Sims, because I don't think he meant to do it, although he has a bit of a reputation for such play, but you could tell he was very remorseful. He looked like he was almost on the verge of tears. I think he knew the writing was on the wall in that moment for his Dragons career, but yeah, never nice seeing a player get knocked cold like that. So yeah, feel for Connor Tracy.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I've just got my last note here. I don't know what else you covered, but I just said a poor season for the Dragons, and I'm not sure we're going to see them get any better next year.
Do you take that with a grain of salt? Because it's coming from Brad's mouth. He makes
wooden spoon prediction here already for next year.
Every year until I get it right. Yeah, as Brad Payne's, no, I think my flatmates decided to turn it off for some reason, which is always great when I'm live on here. But yeah, God, let's get into Sunday.
Sunday, Cowboys over the Bulldogs, 28-14, 5-3 for the Cowboys. The Griffin Neem, Chad Townsend, Luciano Leilua, and Scott Drinkwater with a double. For the Bulldogs, the Fox, Josh Adokar, Matt Burden, and Kyle Flanagan. It was 10-10 at halftime. I think the final score probably a little flattering to the Cowboys, Brad, because I thought the Bulldogs made a very good fist of things and gave it a hell of a shake against one of the top sides this year.
Yeah, Bulldogs keep taking sides to the limit. The improvement I think they've shown under Mick Potter's been tremendous, which why I still think it's crazy they just don't ask Potter to take over full time next year.
Yeah, well, wouldn't
I know we didn't talk about it in the news. There's still no news on who the coach is going to be, but they seem to be responding under Potter, so I just keep him there. Burton was great. Had the Cowboys sweating, I think. But the Cowboys did slowly start taking control over this match. And, the last 20, they kind of pushed the score out a bit. An interesting stat that I didn't have time to research further, but the Bulldogs ended this match without a single player running over 100 metres. Paul Vaughan was the closest. He got 98, and I think Josh Jackson got 97. But I don't recall an NRL game where at least one player didn't get over 100. But yeah, I think the Bulldogs will be reasonably happy with their season as it's coming to an end. They look destined for the spoon, but have turned things around after they sacked their coach. And I think they're going to be dangerous next season, which I think we both said last week. Cowboys, they just know how to win games. Their defense was great in the final hour of the match. As I said, the Bulldogs, keeping all the Bulldogs under 100. It's not an easy feat, but they did it. And Scott Drinkwater had another outstanding game. And it's hard to believe that they were potentially willing to let him go at the start of the year. And just another good performance from probably my surprise team of the year.
And we get to play them in a couple of weeks. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should be fun.
Awesome.
Now, to the last Sunday game, which has been known to turn up a bit of a bludger in the past and didn't disappoint you. Knights against the Tigers. Knights edging this one 14-10. For the Knights, Inari Tuala with a double and Tex Hoy with the tries. For the Tigers, Brent Naden and Asu Kapoa with a try, with the tries for the Tigers. Knights leading 14-0 at halftime. Didn't manage to score in the second half, and the Tigers not quite able to complete the comeback.
Yeah, I've got not much to say on this one. I've got probably the game no one wanted to watch. A real sour way to end the round with two teams that are clearly just looking towards the off season and a reset button for next year. Knights did just enough right to get the win, but have so much to work on. They struggled defensively and couldn't keep hold of the ball. Tigers basically rinse and repeat what I just said about the Knights. They are such a different team without Jack Hastings. He directs them around the park so much better, and without them, they look lost. But yeah, they couldn't tackle and couldn't keep hold of the ball either. It's what I do, Paul. That's less than I have for anything else. That's all I have to say. It was horrible.
It was. The Tigers a bit of a fall from grace after what should have been two wins against top eight Queensland teams only turned out to be one thanks to, well, we all know, the refereeing at the end.
The cheating. Yeah. The dogs in the bunker.
But, yeah, a real return to classic Tigers there, dropping this one to the Knights, who aren't much drop either. So let's end the round there, shall we?
Yep. So we may as well bring up the tipping comp. If you can, Paul. Are you there, Paul?
I can tell you all I made some ground on Brad.
Yes, so because Richard has faith in the Panthers and I didn't and I backed the Raiders, he has edged it and got a bit closer. He ended the round with 6 out of 8. Simon and myself both got 5 out of 8. So I am still leading 110 out of 160. Richard's only 3 behind on 107 out of 160. And then Simon at the end there, 103 out of 160. So it's still anyone's race. I'm being super thoughtful and careful on my picks because I'm trying to hold on to my mind a little lead here. But yeah, at least it's close. And we're coming towards the end of it because we start again in the playoffs. So I don't have too much longer to hold on. But if you can bring up the ladder, Paul, not too many changes. Couple of teams went up, one team went down. So Panthers are still at the top at first, Cowboys still second, Sharks still third, Storm still fourth. Parramatta have gone up to 5th. Rabbitohs have gone up to 6th. Broncos have gone down to 7th. Roosters stay where they are at 8th. Raiders stay where they are at 9th. Seagulls stay where they are at 10th. Dragons 11th. Bulldogs 12th. Knights went up to 13th, which saw the Warriors go down to 14th. Now with the worst points conceded. Then the Tigers are 15th. Titans 16th. I did see a thing. I was meant to send it to Paul earlier, but they had NRL had done the best place and the worst place you could finish. So from 12 down, they have no chances of making the 8. 11 up still have a chance if they win and things go their way. So we don't need to discuss it as much this time. Mm. So thanks for the ladder there, Paul. Do we have any questions?
No, we've kind of covered everything in the live chat as we've been going along.
Oh, yeah. So nothing there. So my one might be a bit quicker than yours, so I'll go with mine first. After another disappointing performance from the Warriors, what changes either on the field or off it would you make to get them back to winning?
Well, we've
Cameron's
already changed.
Cameron George is probably watching, so he get the notepad out, Cam.
Winning this season or
a season? 5 years. Just this season. I just want to win before the year's done.
Oh, so you're talking about for this season?
All right, if you want to go further, you can.
Okay, now let's talk this season. Stop picking random teams on Tuesday. That would be a start. I'd love to see Dejan Arce complete the year at number 6, keeping Egan where he should be at number 9. I'd love to see our back row mix be made up of Curran, whether he's out on the edge or 13, but definitely not coming off the bench. Yeah. Other than that, I think the back line started to get a bit more where I'd like it to be. We saw absence of Pompey, no disrespect to Pompey. I've preferred the look of the outside back makeup. But yeah, the rest of the team, less random selections. And it's really just got to come down to the players after that, putting in effort and working for each other on defense, because the defense is, as we saw on the weekend, just so many holes and so many arm tackles and just shirt grabs, and just lacked any sort of cohesion, which probably due to mixing and matching selection so often. So let's just pick a team that we run with to the end of the year and run with that, injuries pending, and just play with passion, play like you mean it. We saw in the Tigers game when they first came home for their first home game at Mount Smart, we didn't do anything flash, just did the basics, ran super hard. Montoya, Watenezu Lesniak, the back three running with lots of venom, everyone running and tackling hard and just working for each other. That's got to be our formula. And yeah, no Egan's at six and Surinen starting. Let's avoid that and just play with gusto. And after that, the result will, you know, it'll take care of itself, whether we win or not. At least we could be proud of a performance if we play with our hearts.
Yeah, and Jacko says, forget winning, the season's done, blood some youngsters and fringe players, drop players leaving at the end of the season. The biggest issue there, I actually looked at the Warriors team, including the injured ones. Most of the ones we have available that we could bring in are ones that are leaving. Mm. But, basically the team they've picked this week is the team I would stick with.
Yeah.
Moving forward, you know, is it going to win? Maybe not, but there's not a lot of the guys leaving, but we just don't have the stock on pitch right now.
No, we don't.
To get rid of, you know, Murchie's not signed on next year. Arcee's not signed on next year. Walsh is going. Aitken's going. You know, you take all of those guys out, we don't have the players to replace them with. And then guys like Pride Peterson, Rabadi, which you would like to blood, they're not signed next year either. So it's a horses for courses kind of thing. But yeah, the team they picked this week, I would stick with that. But your question for me.
Sure. I just wanted to talk about, there was rumours that Isaiah Papali'i wanting to backflip on the Tigers and potentially not so for Parramatta, but also us as a possibility of him coming home to the Warriors for family reasons and whatnot. So if he were to get out of his contract he signed with the Tigers and return to us here at the Warriors, how would you feel about that? Would you be comfortable signing him, even if that meant he's backflipping on a contract he's already signed at the Tigers?
Yeah, I'm feeling very hypocritical because when this rumor first came out about him backflipping and staying with Parramatta,
yeah.
I said no, he's got to stick with his contract.
And so it's his did fault. I.
Yeah. It's his fault for signing so far out, throwing the Warriors in the mix. I'm like, oh no, yeah, but I'll take him. So I feel very hypocritical. I personally think he needs to go to the Tigers. If he was coming to the Warriors, I'm not going to say no. I'm not stupid. Unfortunately, Cameron George is. He has come out and said, no, it's not happening. But I think we were talking earlier today and said that legally you're not meant to be approaching players anyway. So yeah, there might be cloak and daggers and smoke and mirrors and all the like, and they might be having a conversation. Jack has said the Kepu brothers, yeah, they could come into the Warriors side. I'd like to see them. I think they're going to be featuring heavily next year, unless the new coach decides he doesn't like them and doesn't use them. Who knows? But there was a tweet today, going back to Papali'i, Clint Newton, the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association, has had a comment. I've never seen this comment before, and it would have been great to be used on a few players earlier this year. But he has said that the Players Commission or Association have told Papali'i and his management team to honour the contract. Our expectations of players and also clubs is that they honour their contracts. So he's saying that now, but how many players have broken contracts this year alone? So interesting there. But yeah, I personally think he should go to the Tigers. You know, he signed a deal. We should stick with them. But yeah, if he ended up at the Warriors, I'm not going to say no. But yeah, I think Tigers need him the most. It'd be great to have him. I'm not saying the Warriors don't need him, but out of the three teams talking right now, the Tigers desperately need him. So yeah, he's just got that ploy of being able to say he's homesick and want to come back to New Zealand. It's the interesting thing to break a contract that seems to work because that's used a lot against the Warriors. Chance is using it to come to the Warriors next year. So, that's really the only way. I don't see them saying you can stay with Parramatta. The Tigers won't allow that, but the Tigers won't want to be the club that denies him coming home if he misses his family and his partner who lives here. So that is really the only way out of it. It's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks to see what happens. But that's it. Some really insightful questions there by yours truly. So we may as well go into round 22 and our picks. Simon gave me the picks earlier on. I just need yours, Richie. So first up on Thursday, we had the Panthers Storm. I've gone with the Panthers. Simon's gone with the Storm.
I've gone with the Panthers.
I was all on Panthers until Hughes, you know. Next up is the Warriors Bulldogs. Simon has gone with the Warriors. I have gone with the Bulldogs.
I went Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. It's good to see.
I think they're just playing too well. They're playing better than us at the moment.
It's good to see the Raiders fan is backing our team.
Good man, Simon.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Simon. Next up is Eels Rabbitohs. Simon and myself both picked Rabbitohs.
I went Rabbitohs too. Yep, so Eels are inconsistent. This is their lost week.
Yeah, it has to be. Next up is Roosters Cowboys. Simon and myself have both picked the Cowboys.
Oh, I've gone the other way. I went Roosters.
Roosters. All right, so I'm going to get one ahead again. Tigers Sharks. Simon and myself both picked Sharks.
Sharks, yeah.
And Broncos Knights, we have both picked the Broncos.
Broncos has to be. Yep.
Has to be. Raiders Dragons, we have both picked the Raiders.
Yeah, at home, more to play for. Well, Raiders, Dragons still have a slight chance, but no, I think Raiders have got to be Raiders. Yeah,
I think if they lose this one, their chances all were gone, I think, if the calculations are right. And then the final game, Seagulls Titans, we have both gone Seagulls. I'm already writing in yours because I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, Manly. Yeah.
So you and I, Simon's got a few different from us, but you and I have the Roosters Cowboys different, and that's it. But yeah, Simon has got the Storm and Warriors games different to both of us. So should be interesting, and hopefully I can keep my edge. If not, you'll get one more point closer potentially.
Hopefully.
So Super League. There were no changes on the ladder. St. Helens are still leading with Wigan in second, Huddersfield third, and Catalans fourth. Toulouse lost again, so they're still in last. But we had Toulouse losing to Hull KR 22-16. Huddersfield defeated Hull FC 22-16. Wigan defeated Warrington 32-6. St. Helens defeated Castleford 20-12. Leeds defeated Salford 34-14. And Catalans defeated Wakefield 20-16. Round 23 for the Super League sees Warrington facing Toulouse, Castleford versus Catalans, Hull KR versus Leeds, Salford versus Huddersfield, Hull FC versus St. Helens, and Wakefield versus Wigan. So, unfortunately, I think Toulouse will have another loss here, which will keep them at the bottom. But Wigan will do their best to help them out by doing a big loss against a big win over Wakefield. But anything else you want to add, Richie or Paul?
No, not really. Thanks to everybody for chatting. Thanks to Paul. Thanks to you, Brad, for not dropping out with your internet too often.
Not too often. It doesn't happen a lot. I'll sit the flatmates down for another team meeting.
Yeah.
But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in tonight. Joining us on the Stand Up with Brad and Richie for your weekly update on rugby league. Tune into our show next week, Wednesday at 8 p.m. On Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers again for joining me, Richie, and Paul, for all your work in the background. And good night, everyone.
Good night.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.